here we go. So, would you mind just introducing yourself?
I'm Tony Watt, Director of Manchester School of Samba. And the reason we've been brought into this project is the collection. Basically, what's the connection between the School of Samba, Carnival, and Stories of the World? Stories of the World are about people. And in particular, they have four dolls that were donated by a Liverpudlian cotton baron who had a plantation in Rio at the time of slavery. And he freed his slaves early. Slavery didn't get abolished in Brazil until 1888, and he freed his slaves in 1830. Now, the four dolls depict, they think they might have been a celebration of the fact that they had the early emancipation of those slaves. They depict people just doing ones of their house servants, basically. The one they think might have been selling textiles, the others was a maid and a nanny. And the interesting thing is, one of them, the woman is carrying a small doll herself, a small white doll representing the child. Dolls called bonecos or calungas are still used in Carnival in Brazil now, in the north. In Olinda, they have big giant puppets, and also in around the same area, they have what they call maracatus. So today, I've been teaching the rhythm maracatu and another rhythm from the same area, also connected to slavery, which is called coco, which they used to use on the coconut plantations. That's what the name means, coco. And it comes from the rhythm that you use, you know, dunk, dunk, when you're chopping the top of a coconut. So I haven't been that explicit about telling them the connection between cotton and Brazil and the stories of the world and how the whole world is connected. But we've mainly concentrated on just having fun and playing rhythms. But Carnival comes from people's life experience, and the connection between the life experience of the people in Rio and in Olinda and in Recife and here.
Fantastic. Yeah. So as far as having something like the Manchester School of Samba,
yeah,
what is it that you found the most challenging in terms of just having that set up and sort of like pushing forward doing samba music? Is it easy to get participants? Is it easy to get the word out? Or is it something where sometimes you are fighting against the current in the local sort of area?
No, well, usually samba sells itself. When we go and perform in places, people see it and they can see that it's ordinary people doing it, and so they want to do it themselves, and you should seek us out. In fact, Jill, who you were just talking to, her daughter,
yeah,
we were playing at a hotel somewhere, the Marriott Hotel, in fact, in Worsley, and her dad was there, modern technology, rang his daughter, held up the phone, and she was like, where are they? Because she'd done samba in schools. As time has gone on, when I first started doing this 15 years ago, when I set up the samba school, it was the first one in the Northwest, I think. No, not quite. Cabasa was the first one. When I first started doing it, there were very few other samba schools, but I helped set up various other ones. Some people set up other samba bands because they didn't like the way I did things. Yeah, everyone. It's all right. I used to say to them, start your own band, and then you'll be sorry, and they were.